We'll use the chart tonight. We could use it this morning, but it's entirely all right. We may repair to it. It's a real joy to be with you this morning. And I was looking at your bulletin, and especially the section which gives us the meditation toward the end. And I noticed that there was a bit of a note there by a very dear friend of mine. I know her very, very well, was brought up with her, Mrs. Edith McClelland. And I was speaking to her just before leaving. I want you to pray for her dear husband. He has terminal cancer. And I just don't know exactly how long he is going to be around. But I know Edith very well, and I know him too, brought up with him. And he'll come from the same assembly. And she's a real student of the Word of God. Now, we're going to read this morning, if you don't mind. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the last page of it. The last page of your Bible. That's a good way to find it, isn't it? Sometimes if I were to mention we're going to speak from Malachi or perhaps one of the minor prophets, you might have a bit of difficulty. But the last book in the Bible, it's the book of the Apocalypse, the book of the last things, the book of the Revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 22, and we shall commence reading, please, at verse number 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Read, please, verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, behold, I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to remember those verses. Behold, I come quickly. That is a blessing to the word, the person that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. A special blessing attached to the person who reads the prophecy of this book, the book of the Revelation. As a young Christian, I was quite familiar with the Bible because I was brought up in the Sunday school. and every Lord's Day, even though I was not a Christian. It was incumbent upon us to memorize a verse from the book of Proverbs. Now, I believe that's a great book. If I had anything to do with your Board of Education, I think that I would require the reading of the book of Proverbs. A wonderful book. But there's a special blessing associated with the reading of the book of the Revelation as a young believer. I stumbled through the reading of those wonderful names in Matthew's Gospel, where it gives you the family tree or the genealogy of our blessed Lord. And then it was very interesting to go through the rest of the chapters and read of the wonder-working power of our blessed Savior, how that He performed those miracles, and He spoke those wonderful parables. If I'm not mistaken, I think you will find that we have at least 30 of His miracles recorded, and I think there are 31 parables that our Lord spake. And when the Master spoke, He spoke in words, as we sometimes sing, that were true and plain. He never used words that we couldn't understand. Listen to this. I, one letter. Am, two letters. Thee, three letters. Door, four letters. That isn't difficult, is it? Listen to these words. I, one letter. Am, two letters. Thee, three letters. Way, three letters. That isn't difficult. If there is anyone in our gathering together this morning, and you cannot say that you have eternal life, now, I'm not asking you, and I didn't use a text. I didn't ask you if you were saved, if you were born again, if your name was written in heaven. I ask you simply this question, do you have eternal life? Has there ever been a time in your life's experience when you come into that blessing? Now that doesn't mean signing a church roll. That doesn't mean memorizing the catechism or being sprinkled as a baby. When the pastor put his empty hand upon your empty head and pronounced you a Christian. I ask you this morning, can you definitely say that you possess eternal life? Another question I want to ask you. That is this. If you were to pass off this scene today, and that's possible, I don't think all of your sidewalks here are the safest of the world. I know that. Anything can happen. But supposing you were to pass off this scene today, and God were to say to you, why should I allow you to enter into my heaven? What would you say? Would you tell him that your father was a Christian, your mother was saved, and that you're brought up in the Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel Sunday School, and at times you did take the Word of God into hand and you read it. Would you tell them that? That's not enough. What would you say if God were to say to you, why should I allow you to enter into my heaven?
I was traveling in an airplane.
And I was several hours on that airplane. I was traveling from the city of Miami. And I was on my way to China. And before getting on that airplane, I asked God to give me an opportunity to speak to someone about the Lord. You see, an airplane is a good place to do that because, you see, the people can't get away from you. And I was sitting next to a man, and he was, he had something in his mouth. He wasn't chewing gum. He was brown. And they usually manufacture the very best in Havana, Cuba. Now, I don't believe any of it's any good. And he was blowing his out, and I was trying to get something in. I had the Word of God in hand. He said, you're a religious person. And I was wearing a red tie. I know preachers are allowed to do that, but I had one on. I said, I'm a priest. And he looked at me. You priest? And I said, yes, so's my wife. He got up out of that seat. And he went down to a place which they call a bar. It's a bar to heaven and a rope to hell. Whoever named it well. I thought, well, now I've got 30 hours on this plane. And he was looking around for another seat. Finally, they rolled down the aisle, a little cart, perhaps a little narrower than this. And I know that there weren't bottles of milk on it, because the necks were too long, you see. And they asked me what I wanted. I said, do you have tomato juice? Looked at me. He says, we can give you a Bloody Mary, whatever that is. I don't know. I said, no, I just take the tomato juice. It's complimentary. I said, thank you very much. Then they came along, and of course, they wanted to give us, before lunch, a special beverage. There were all kinds of things there. I says, I'll have a glass of milk. And I'm looking to the Lord to give me an opportunity to speak to somebody about the Lord. Nothing. Finally, the plane was coming down in a place called Oakland, California, where a lot of people got off. I was going to Frisco, and then over to Hong Kong. And the man that was serving, what do you call him, steward? He was serving. Come up to me, and he said, you refuse that little package and a box of matches. Oh.
I refuse that. And he says, you refused what we offered you. It's a beverage. I said, yes. He said, listen, you have a couple of question marks there. What does that mean? Oh, I said, thank God. I was just hoping someone asked me. And the first question is this. Has there ever been a time in your life's experience when you came into the blessing of having eternal life? You shook his head. And sitting over next to us, there was another man, lovely, beautiful, blonde hair, not as good looking as I am, but, I mean, he was there, you see. And elegantly dressed. And so the steward said to me, but he said, what about the other question? Well, I said, that's a good question too. Supposing you were to pass off this scene and God were to say to you, why should I allow you to enter into my heaven? What would you say? And a smile came across his countenance. He said, what would I say? I would say, the blood was a sign, Lord, that marked them as thine, Lord. And brightly they'll shine at thy coming again. You know what happened? In true fashion, Spanish fashion, I put my arms around him. I says, dear brother, you love the Lord. He says, I do. He says, I knew you were a Christian. The man sitting over here, I mean that, good-looking guy like me. He says, you know this man? I said, sure, he's my brother. Your brother? You haven't talked to him till just now. Ah, I said, you see, he's my brother-in-law. What do you mean? Well, I said, I'll ask you the same questions. He says, first of all, he says, I'll tell you who I am. He says, I'm on my way to Hollywood. He says, I just finished a picture in the city of Miami. He was a movie star. Do they need the gospel? I think they do. We don't go in for it. But they need the word of God. I had a wonderful time talking to him. And listen, he says, give me your card. The next time I'm in Miami, I'll invite you over to the Fountain Blue where I have a suite of rooms. And I'll invite you for a meal. I'm still waiting. When we got into the city of San Francisco, he lost his bag, as did I. They put them on another plane going to Texas. And there I was. And he was quite concerned, and so was I. I said, you know something? I believe that's of God. He wants me to continue my conversation with you. And he had to wait around for an hour. The blood was a sign, Lord. That marked the Messiah. I wonder this morning if you can say definitely that you're trusting in the Savior's blood. If you're not saved this morning, don't leave until you know the Lord. Now, I didn't mean to say all that, but perhaps God meant it, that some might come to acknowledge the Lord. Now, I've read to you three verses. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. There is a special blessing associated with reading the book of the Revelation. I wouldn't read it. I was afraid of all the symbolic teaching as a young believer. And I read the Bible through quite a number of times, but I was afraid of the book of the Revelation. And one day, I think I'll read it. And I sat down, and at one sitting, read the whole thing. And you know something? There was a special blessing associated with it. And there is. There is. You see, it was John, that beloved disciple who leaned upon the bosom of our blessed Lord, that wrote this wonderful book. He wrote on three different occasions, didn't he? He wrote a gospel called by his, it's the gospel according to John. Although you won't find his name used by himself. He always referred to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. And the gospel according to John is written for the world. I don't know of another gospel that I would rather give away than the gospel according to John. It's so simple and so real and so understandable. Listen, for God so loved the world. There's the word world. There are 25 words in that particular text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, the very central word, 13, is the word Son. He's a subject, he's a center, he's a circumference of that particular text, the Lord Jesus. John wrote the gospel. He took up his pen again, and he wrote to the family of God in the epistles. He wrote three epistles. In fact, the only book that you'll find written to a lady in the Word of God was written to the elect lady, and it was a beloved disciple that did it. I write unto your fathers, the family. I write unto you young men. That's the family. Because your sins are forgiven. When John takes up his pen again, it was on the island called Patmos where he was exiled. Now, I could show you where all of the disciples of our blessed Lord, they were murdered for the cause of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. When it came John's turn, he was a man over 90 years of age, the oldest of the disciples extinct. They put him into a vat of boiling oil. And in a most remarkable way, he succumbed. And he was exiled to an island called Patmos. It's a rocky, barren terrain. Why did they exile him? His body was covered with scalds and burns. And he was despicable to look upon. But he didn't write all of the book of the Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. But he did get a tremendous vision there on the Isle of Patmos of seven churches in Asia. And the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation have to do with the message to the churches. That would be the subject, so to speak, of those first three chapters. They were actual churches existing during that particular time. There's none of them left today. And I would like to suggest to you this morning that in those letters, or those epistles that he wrote to those seven churches in Asia, you have the history in review of the history of the church. Now, on Wednesday night, I was speaking about a little bit about the church. The first mention that you have of that church is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, when our Lord said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And one of the disciples said, "Well, some say that thou art Elias. Some say that thou art John the Baptist, risen from amongst the dead. Some say that thou art John Baptist. But whom say ye that I am?" And it was Simon Peter that answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus said unto him, "Thou art Simon Bar-Jonah, thou art a little stone, thou art a pebble. But upon this rock will I build my church, a bedrock. Will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What was our Lord reminding us? That Peter was not the foundation, but the confession that Peter made, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is our Lord Jesus Christ." Satan is going to do his utmost to destroy the church of our blessed Lord. What does that mean? The church, the gathered out company, every man, every woman in the world that is trusting in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. They have been baptized into the one body, though there's not a drop of water there. They've been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into that one church. We are united to Christ. He loved us and he gave himself for it. And for this cause shall a man love his wife as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. For that reason, he came into the world. And one of these days, very, very soon, that church, that bride, is going to be presented to the Father without spot, without wrinkle, with any other such thing. Now, you can look at me today, and I am full of spots. And I am full of wrinkles. I'm not talking about these things you see in my face or under my chin. I'm speaking about my life. There is so much about us. We're so unlike our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. How prone we are to want to remove a little spot out of our brother's eye when there's a great big plank in our own. How prone we are to condemn others. And as we point a finger at them, there's one, two, three, four, pointing at myself. But thank God in that day, when presented unto God the Father, there's going to be no spot, no wrinkle, or any such thing. That could happen today. Our Lord said in the book of the Revelation, and the chapters I've been reading this morning, behold, I come quickly. Now, the first letter that he wrote, the first, the reading chapter 2 of the book of the Revelation, you have 7 messages to the churches. They were existence. After chapter 3 of the book of the Revelation, I don't see anything of the church. It's been translated to heaven. Everything after chapter 3 is yet to be fulfilled. And do you know, there is a lot of prophecy that is going to be fulfilled the moment that our Lord comes, and He is coming. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That could happen today. There is not one single verse in the Bible that has to be fulfilled before our Lord comes. They all have been fulfilled. And we're living in the last closing moments of the present dispensation of the grace of God. In the world you will find wars, and by the way, at the present time, there is something like 34 wars in existence. You go over to the north of Ireland, and what do you find? The Irish Republican Army. Illegal. And the murders that they have committed are beyond description. Do you know what it is to be gathered as we are this morning in the gospel chapel? They call them gospel halls over there. And on a Lord's Day morning, as the believers are gathered together to remember our Lord, there's a grenade thrown in the door. And dozens of believers in an assembly are ushered into eternity. Murder. We know what happened in China. When those students, perhaps 500,000 of them, gathered together, demanding a little more of democracy. By the way, I believe in a theocracy. And I live in a country where we have a democracy, so to speak. But you know, it's God's will that we have a theocracy. A king. And I thank God for that day. When the king is going to reign. I speak of King Jesus. And He's going to reign in perfect righteousness from the river unto the end of the earth. And in that day, we won't say, know the Lord. For all shall know the Lord, for the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And He's going to reign in perfect righteousness. Can you imagine a government like that? And I believe that even life is going to be extended. The Word of God instructs me that in that day, if a man dies at 120. Can anybody hear 100 for me? Can anybody hear 100? Good thing I'm going on 90, which I made a lot of years ago. But
among the ways.
But if a man dies at 120, he's going to die as an infant. And during those years when our Lord is reigning in perfect righteousness, I believe that it's going to be possible to live for the entire expanse of 1,000 years. How old are you? Dear Brother William, that day, so I'm going to say, how old? 500. 700. 969. Life is going to be cancer gone. High blood pressure, thing of the past. And even the animal kingdom is going to be changed. Can you imagine a lion and a lamb eating grass together? That's going to happen. But you see, before that particular time, our Lord is going to come. And my heart will respond and say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Behold, I come quickly. What's that mean? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now that doesn't mean the opening and the closing of an eye. The twinkling of an eye. You can't measure that. The last one. And we're going to be changed. How would you like a change in your body? And that change is going to be like the Lord's body. How old was he when he died? Oh, you say, did he not commence his public ministry at 30 years of age? That's right. And for 3 years, he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He gave sight to the blind. He fed the hungry. He gave life to the dead. He cleansed the leper. He healed those that were lame. He fed the sick. He fed the hungry. And for 3 years, he lived. And he ministered. And at 33 years, he glorified his Father God. 33 years is a great time to live. When I was 33, man, I tell you, I was in the very prime of life. Well, you and I are going to have a body like unto the body of our blessed Lord. And you're never going to die. It's going to be one. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. To the man or the woman who loves the word of God, he says, behold, I come quickly. Verse number 12. Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be. Now here is a special reminder to that person who is engaging in the work of God. Who are they? Oh, you preachers. I don't think so. I don't think so. I believe that there is no Christian exempt from Christian service. When I was a little boy going to Sunday school, we used to sing, You in your small corner, die in mine. My dear brother, my beloved sister, God has given you something to do. It might be very simple. It might be helping a poor widow in your assembly. Some dear sister who is burdened and perplexed over her children. That dear soul needs to be encouraged. And I believe that the work of the pastor, he may not preach, but he's the one who cares for the lonely sheep. It might be thinking of others that haven't been invited for a meal to a Christian's house for months, perhaps for years. I was in a place in Cleveland, Ohio, assembly. The dear brother said to me, he said, George, they don't call me Mr. Walker anyplace. He said, here in the Bahamas, you know. When I go to the Spanish Well, they call me Uncle George. When I go to Man of War, the same thing. Go to Green, the same thing. But nevertheless, I remember very, very much somebody saying to me, George, you know, it would be wonderful to do something to the Lord. Well, I said, you can do it. You can do it. That dear man, he said, well, what can I do? He said, I can't walk. I said, you know, you've got a telephone. He said, sure. Got a telephone. I said, why don't you look up some of the people in the telephone directory and give them the gospel for about 3 minutes? Well, he did that, and then he decided, well, there are people who want to call me. So he put an extra telephone into the house, and he purchased a little answering device, and you can put a 3-minute message on it. That's all. Now, to preach for an hour, that's easy. And I've got to watch the time. But 3 minutes, that's been the hardest thing for me to do in my life. And I got one of those little telephones. I mean, a little answer thing. And all it gives you 3 minutes. And when the 3 minutes go, they cut off. You don't see any more. You're talking to yourself. But you know, I got one of those things. And I made some tapes, 3 minutes each, at the time myself. I put a little counter on it. Do you know that I'm receiving 1,000 calls every month? People will call up. I have a little card. Give them out. And all it says on the card, are you sad? Are you discouraged? Call this number 24 hours a day. Do you know, I get calls at 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm no good. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm worse. I'm out of it. But you see, the telephone still goes. I got a call one evening, about 3 in the morning. And the girl said, hey, I've been listening to the same words, the same message for 6 times. She said, what do I have to do? Boy, I woke up in a hurry. I really did. And gave her the gospel in the simplest of terms. Now, I said, don't want to tell me your name. That doesn't interest me. She said, you mean? I said, exactly. If I trust in the precious blood that I'll be saved, then sure. Came to see me. He asked me where I live. Beautiful, beautiful girl. I mean, I'm not blind yet, you know. She was beautiful. But I said, you come from Spain. Yes, she says, I'm from Spain. I could tell by her accent. What are you doing in Miami? Well, she said, I haven't been here long. I said, I'm very discouraged. She says, my arm is like a pin cushion. There's nothing that I haven't engaged in. She said, I came from Spain to the city of New York. From there, I went to Buenos Aires and Argentina. From there, I went to Montevideo. I was in Venezuela. I went to the Copacabana and Havana. And what kind of work you do? She says, I'm a ballet dancer. Now look, we don't go in for those kind of people. Do we really? God saved her. She gave it up. What a joy it was to see that dear girl baptized, brought into God's assembly. And she went back to Spain to witness for our blessed Lord. She heard that over a 3-minute message on the telephone. You can't do much. You can't do much. Try it. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we desire to thank thee for thy goodness, thy kindness, and thy love. And we desire to thank thee for those here present this morning. If there be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, without Christ, without Savior, grant indeed that they might come to know him. The hour is drawing late. The Lord Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work. Behold, I come quickly. And our Father, to he that reads the word of God, there's a blessing. And to he that works in the work of God, there's a special blessing. But our Father in heaven, he says, behold, I come quickly. And our Father, he might come today. Grant that men and women and boys and girls might be ready, putting their trust in the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the opportunity of being here this morning. Give thy word and the power of the Spirit to make. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Now, we invite you all to come back tonight, and we will be dealing with this chart, which we have before us, and we'll say some things that perhaps might prove to be of special interest to you, and we'll again remember you about speaking a little bit about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come back tonight. Love to help.